of course, Tom Hartman last hour was talking about the Veterans Affairs, and this has been an ongoing conversation in the national as well as the state and local news for the last couple of months, and certainly it's been an ongoing conversation for years and years as well. This is just the latest flare-up of that. So we'll talk about that, but before we do, all of this latest conversation is sort of happening around Memorial Day, which was yesterday, and I know the VFW and the American Legion did a lot of very nice, very cool, and very somber ceremonies over the course of the weekend. So I wonder if you could talk about that.
Well, that's correct. Well, we started it on Friday, getting ready for Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we were at the cemetery about 6:15 with a bunch of people arriving between 6:30 and 6:45. And we had about 30 people, scouts, members of the American Legion, VFW, local citizens who wanted to come down and put a flag on a grave. Mm-hmm. We taught them the symbolism, what's going on, the difference between Memorial Day and other holidays like Veterans Day, how Memorial Day is to remember those who died on active duty. This is not a veteran who's died natural causes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Those who are on active duty could be combat, whatever condition. That's what Memorial Day is about. Mm-hmm. And putting flags on the graves and strewing with flowers goes back to the Civil War. And it's a Civil War item for the South. The ladies down here in the small towns would tend to the graves of everyone that was in their area. And that was picked up by people in the North, and they had a general order came out from the Army of the Republic. They said, let's do this on all graves. So it became a national thing. Mm-hmm. And originally called Decorations Day. So we keep that going. That's one of the things, if you go listen to what the VFW writes about and talks about, our theme is, as long as there are two surviving veterans, mm-hmm. we shall make sure that every grave is remembered. So we do that.
That's really nice, and it was a very, very nice ceremony on Saturday morning, and there are pictures of it if you missed it on our website, chapelboro.com, not just the Saturday ceremony, but also the Monday ceremony that also took place at the
Right. Well, we repeat the Saturday one. Saturday we do it because we're putting the flags down, mm-hmm. and people come there, and so we just don't want to put the flags down and walk away.
Right.
And why do we do the flags on Saturdays? Because we have outer towners.
Yeah.
I got a note today from a lady in Davidson, North Carolina, who came here to see her mother's ashes, and her father's grave is also there. And she walked in there and saw all the flags when she came. It meant so much, and that's what it's all about. You're helping the families deal with the losses that they're mm-hmm. incurring. And their memories. So there's deep memories here.
And you were talking before we started, while CBS was still playing, we were talking about a note that you got from someone who wasn't expecting to see a flag on her father's
Yes, there was a case of a lady that came with her mother, came to see her mother's grave. Mm-hmm. The mother was buried. Yes, the day before Mother's Day this year. Mm-hmm. And so when she came to see the grave again, she remembered that her father was a lieutenant colonel in the Army. Mm-hmm. But his grave does not have the traditional placard or something that says, I am a veteran. But the family took care to put his rank there. And mm-hmm. our people were been taught to look for those things. And they saw it and put a flag. Mm-hmm. So imagine how she felt when she saw the flag there. Didn't expect to see it. She was bringing a flag.
And it really says a lot about just the importance of the symbolism of, you know, putting a flag on a grave is such a it's a simple thing to do, but it means so much.
Yes, in our society we're pretty busy today. There's so much going on. There's so many places to be. You can go buy shopping for a car. Mm-hmm. You can buy a new mattress. You can, no matter where you go, someone's got a deal.
And there's always a Memorial Day sale going on.
Always.
Everywhere.
Yeah, always. And so what happened?
Five ears of corn for a dollar.
Oh yes. So what happened to? We didn't even have a barbecue. My family. Mm-hmm. When we got done, we went home. We crashed and burned. We were tired. But we made sure that we can always celebrate ourselves another mm-hmm. day. But as I look at those graves and know the history, there's a Tuskegee Airman, there's generals, there's people who became judges, people who returned to Chapel Hill either because they left here or because the GI Bill brought them here, mm-hmm. or they came as part of the Navy's program for advanced flying, mm-hmm. that they had a taste of Chapel Hill and they returned here when Chapel Hill was small and the university was still growing. And now they're gone. and they contributed greatly to our town.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to say thank you and never let that cemetery be unadorned.
And we should also mention, I mean, this was an entire weekend of ceremonies. There was one, we've talked about this over the weekend on WCHL, but there's one thing we haven't talked about, which is the event that took place on Sunday, the burial of ashes from Dachau.
Oh, yes. And that was a very moving experience. We were contacted at the VFW through Ed Gill, one of our members, and it was a situation where there were ashes, what we call an ash cake. It's from Dachau, and they were being made by the Nazis to mark that someone had been cremated, and some of them had numbers on it. There's a pretty good article in the New York Times that covered this. And anyway, these ashes were given to an Army Air Corps sergeant who was at Dachau by a person who was confined there. And with a message, would you take this with you as a symbol and to remember what you saw here? Well, he had that thing for like 50 years. And on his deathbed, he wanted to make sure that that didn't get lost, so he told his son the secret of how he got this. He had kept it in a cigarette tin. Mm. And the story goes that the son had it, and who also lives here in North Carolina, was looking what to do with it, and he kept it and kept the secret. And then as he was getting older and less able to do things, he recognized that his life was not that much longer, decided he had to find a solution to this. So what he did was contacted the local Jewish community and said, what can we do to take care of these ashes? And that started a whole series of things together. The Holocaust Group, the Speakers Bureau here on Chapel Hill, got involved. They authenticated the ash cake. And it was buried with a beautiful ceremony. At least 300 people were there, where they placed the ash cake into a wooden coffin, a small one, and it had the full ceremony, and it represents all of the millions of people who could not come home.
And again, a simple ceremony, but something that is simple. So meaningful to so many different people.
Well, we have a concentration camp survivor in Chapel Hill. And as he talked, the rabbi explained, he said, there's a lot of families that were disrupted.
Yeah.
Some are not whole. Some, maybe a child who's now an older person, was the only survivor. And parents are gone, brothers and sisters.
And those are the families that had survivors at all. Yeah.
So by burying this ash cake, it gave them a sense of closure, too. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's going to be about.
And we're speaking with Lee Hevlin, VFW Post 9100, American Legion Chapel Hill Post Commander. All of those events taking place over the course of the weekend here in Chapel Hill. And, of course, simultaneous to all of that is the eruption of this most recent iteration of the ongoing conversation that, again, goes back years and years involving corruption, abuses, and just generally poor service in the VA hospitals. The immediate scandal now is the allegation that at now many different VA hospitals, including ours here in Durham, wait time records are being falsified to cover up the fact that people are waiting for months. The larger scandal is that people are waiting for months, which is almost a separate thing that needs to be addressed separately, but both going on at the same time. What's your take on that?
Well, you picked up with the right thing that there's two different issues here. There's potential for falsification of records. Mm-hmm. Which they did catch here in Durham very quickly and responded to that by relieving several people of their job. Mm-hmm. How deep that went, was it systemic, we don't know. But we do know that someone needs to be held accountable. And the VFW and the American Legion both came out strongly about accountability.
Mm-hmm.
How we did it, a little differently.
Right.
The American Legion came out with a broad side on that.
Mm-hmm.
The VFW and others pulled back a little bit but made the same comments. A different way. As our commander-in-chief of the VFW said, we're not here to make sound bites and try to get on cable TV.
Yeah.
What we need to do is solve the problem. So there was a strong pushback by all three organizations this morning. In fact, I woke up this morning and caught the news. I said, oh, my goodness, what's going on here?
And you're talking, and this is another thing that, you know, we focus so much on local issues. We don't think about, we don't talk so much on WCHL about what goes on the state and especially the national level. But this is really flared up just in the last couple of days where the American Legion called for Eric Shinseki to resign. The VFW and other organizations didn't go that far. Richard Burr, senator from North Carolina, Donna criticized the other organizations for not going that far, and there has been quite a bit of pushback from those and other organizations on Senator Burr. So,
well, this one
that's the shorthand of what's going on.
It's interesting, and how do you deal with that? How do you respond? Do you just jump out there and scream and yell off with their head? And I have to agree with the handling of that, and I'm an American Legion too. Right?
Yeah. You're both organizations though.
So yeah. We talked about it at the Post, and the members said we will send a letter to our state commander saying we support the action of our commander in chief, and we would like for him to understand that we are asking for an accountability, but we're let that leadership take care of that. The thing with the VFW was a broadside on a Memorial Day weekend, which is not a time to talk politics. It's really a time to, why are we here today?
It just seems to be the case that when it's a time to not talk politics, that tends to be the time when everyone decides to talk politics.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And I read, I went on the line this morning and I said, okay, well, there's a lot of media press. I went to the horse barn and checked what VFW's national site had, what the Disabled Veterans National site have. And they all had a statement. And I encourage anyone who's interested to go look at VFW.org or Disabled American Veterans and look at their responses. And they have some interesting comments. So I don't want to be political, so I'm going to stay on what they said. But the argument is, Congress has oversight of all these things. Congress is the one who controls the how things are done and holds hearings for things to make change. And they're the best provider of the solution is Congress. Then they need to see what's going on. And since this has happened, they're working on that.
Yeah.
So but the dust
it's going to be a long
see.
Time before this is resolved. So can I ask, we're speaking with Lee Haviland, American Legion of VFW here in Chapel Hill, and all of this is sort of, this entire debate sort of hinges on this sort of underlying assumption that this is another indication that treatment of veterans in VA hospitals is poor. So let me ask you about whether that's true. How is treatment at the VA? I know we had the Walter Reed scandal several years ago. I know whenever I'm driving up in northern Durham, it always strikes me the difference between the Duke Hospital on the one side of the road and the VA hospital on the other, that the Duke Hospital, and it's noticed this a few years ago especially, it just seems, I've seen, you know, boarded up windows in the VA hospital. You never see that at Duke. But at the same time, they just opened a new wing at the VA hospital.
Well, the VA hospital, they had a whole part of their building that was under construction.
They
didn't close the hotel down. They just closed off some areas.
So how is treatment at the VA in general?
Well, I've been a patient for about 20 years. So I can only speak for myself. I'll give you an example. I had eye surgery on both eyes recently. And so I don't need glasses anymore because I had cataracts going pretty bad.
Let the record show that he just took his glasses off.
So I can see. and the situation in my case was they noticed it was getting worse and worse and worse, that it had to be done. I'm sitting in my room with the doctor, and he's talking to me. He says, so where do you live? I said, I live in Chapel Hill. He says, well, what do you think of Duke? So I think Duke's pretty good. He says
the hospital or the university?
The hospital.
Okay.
And he said that the there was a little bit of a backlog at the VA, and they needed to take care of me. He said, if you would not mind, we will send you across the street to Duke, and Duke will do the operation.
Okay.
And they'll pay the bill. There was no request on my part. They just made it happen. It was very successful.
Yeah.
That's one indicator. I've had several surgeries there. It's always been first class.
It is good that that hospital is across the street.
Well, you'll find that many of the doctors that work at the VA are from Duke, and it's first class. I was there this morning, and I'm having a test, and there was a room full of people, and I was kind of looking around, well, this room's pretty full. But I found out, well, I was part of a class environment, so it was being 15 of those patients who brought in with them 15 wives or loved ones to drive them for this meeting. So we had 30 people in the room. Well, that was not because they were busy. It was because the environment, okay? So they do have a good system of helping people. And so I've had very good luck with them. And people I talk to tell me, you know, I'm getting good service. And I'll use an example. There's a friend of mine, a Marine, I can't use his name, who recently had heart surgery. And they did the heart surgery on him, and it was a perfect job. And he's walking around happy as whatever.
Yeah.
But they found he had also had cancer in the area of his body. Mm-hmm. And he expected to come out of the hospital not 100%. You picture a Marine, a pretty proud guy.
Right, right.
Okay. And this guy was always that kind of fellow, very professional, very sharp looking, and he was worried. Well, he came out of the operating room looking to find some accessories, and they weren't there. Mm-hmm. And he talked to the doctor and says, you know, we were able to go inside and repair it and get you back to normal without having to put a colostomy bag on him. And it was a joy to him. He's so proud of what they gave him. And those stories were repeated by many members of our posts. And we know that the Durham VA Hospital is way up there in the top of all VA hospitals.
So we've got to wrap up. Unfortunately, I could talk to you all hour, but as people think about the VA scandal, all the different facets of it, and all the different iterations, what should people be thinking about or taking away from it that isn't not getting play on the national news? The national news is, again, people talking politics and talking points, but isn't being said?
I'm not going to use talking points, but I'll say this:
yeah,
it's a public service type environment with a limited budget.
Mm-hmm.
You only feed so many, you can only care so many with so many dollars. Congress controls the dollars.
Mm-hmm.
In recent times, there was a large shortage of how much was available. So they've taken a big hit. But the VA's been trying to maintain the things as they go. But you're going to have to look at sometimes maybe to get everyone in. Mm-hmm. Now, what are you going to do? And also, as we draw down the military, you're going to have thousands and thousands of people who are now active duty getting medical care on active duty in hospitals on bases will now be sent home and have to go to the VA system. But they're interlocking the two, so when they come out, that they've been looked at and reviewed and almost certified for what care needs to be done. The VA stands there ready to provide care, and so it's a much faster process, which is totally different from disability claims, from care versus claims. And claims are based on if you have a disability that was service-connected, that takes a little longer. And that's a whole different conversation. But they're working on that, too.
Right.
And I'm not here to defend them. I'm just saying, from what I can see, we're in pretty good hands. Could it be better? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are people looking at it and making it better? Yes. Do I feel comfortable in it? Yes. And I know that if more veterans participate in groups like the VFW and whatever's out there, and there's all kinds of flavors, get involved and make your voice be heard so that the people who represent the groups can talk to Congress.
About 22 million veterans in this country. Lee Hevlin, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.